हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहाद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 8, the author receives the order of Krishna and Guru. Text 27, page 101. Simply chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offenses vanquishes all sinful activities. Thus pure devotional service, which is the cause of love of Godhead, becomes manifest. When one's transcendental loving service to the Lord is actually awakened, it generates transformations in the body, such as perspiration, trembling, throbbing of the heart, faltering the voice, and tears in the eyes. Srila Prabhupada. Mm-hmm. These bodily transformations are automatically manifested when one is actually situated in love of Godhead. One should not artificially imitate them. Our disease is desire for that which is material. Even while advancing a spiritual life, we want material acclaim. One must be freed from this disease. Pure devotion must be anyavilashita shunyam, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, without desire for anything material. Text 28. As a result of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one makes such great advancements in spiritual life that simultaneously his material existence terminates and he receives love of Godhead. The holy name of Krishna is so powerful that by chanting even one name, one very easily achieves these transcendental riches. One chants the exalted holy name of the Lord again and again, and yet his love for the Supreme Lord does not develop, and tears do not appear in his eyes. It is evident that because of his offenses in chanting, the seed of the holy name of Krishna does not sprout. Srila Prabhupada. One chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offenselessly. One does not achieve the desired result. One does not achieve the desired result. Therefore, one should carefully avoid the offenses, which have already been described in connection with verse 24. But if one only chants with some slight faith the holy names of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, very quickly he is cleansed of all offenses. Thus, as soon as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he feels the ecstasy of love for God. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks in this connection that if one takes shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, follows their instructions to become more tolerant than the tree and humbler than the grass, and in this way chants the holy name of the Lord, very soon he achieves the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord, and tears appear in his eyes. There are offenses to be considered in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but there are no such considerations for chanting the names of Gaura Nityananda. Therefore, if one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but his life is still full of sinful activities, it will be very difficult for him to achieve the platform of loving service to the Lord. But if in spite of being offender, one chants the holy names of Gaura Nitai, he is very quickly freed from the reactions to his offenses. And so that's why then is a mention before chanting, then we always start with the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, then we chant. So the idea is that there even though one may say, okay, we're not developing love of God, so therefore then, you know, due to offensive chanting, then we're having these problems. But the solution is still chanting. There isn't something else to do. Mm-hmm. So it's not that, oh, it's not working, but there isn't something else to do instead. So one keeps at it. And by that, and by the grace of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, then being purified, then we will move forward.
It can take some time.
It may take some time. Yes. But compared to how long we've been here, it's not any time. Okay, continuing the same purport. One should first take shelter of Gaur Nityananda in order to reach, ultimately, Radha Krishna. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings in this connection. Gauranga balite bhave pulaka sharir, hari hari balite nayane bhave nir, ara kabe nitai chander karuna koribe, samsara vasana mora kabe tuchahabe. Vishaya Chariya Kabe Shudha Habiman Kabe Nama Herabo Sri Vrindavan Sri Vrindavan. In the beginning, one should very regularly chant Sri Gaurasundara's holy name, and then chant the holy name of Lord Nityananda. Thus one's heart will be cleansed of impure desires for material enjoyment. Then one can approach Vrindavan Dham to worship Lord Krishna. Unless one is favored by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, there is no need to go to Vrindavan. For unless one's mind is purified, one cannot see Vrindavan, even if he goes there. Actually, going to Vrindavan involves taking shelter of the six Goswamis by reading the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, and the other books that they have given. In this way, one can understand the transcendental loving affairs between Radha and Krishna. So again, that point that was given before is that by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, one is able to get the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one is freed from all material desire, then one can appreciate the Dham, one can appreciate Vrindavan. Then by taking shelter of the Goswamis, then we can understand the pastimes between Radha and Krishna. So that's the process. A neophyte student who is not sufficiently educated or enlightened should not indulge in the worship of Sri Radha and Krishna or the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Even if he does so, he cannot get the desired results. One should therefore chant the names Nitai Gora and worship them without false prestige, since everyone within this material world is more or less influenced by sinful activities. In the beginning, it is essential that one take to the worship of Guru Gauranga and ask their favor. For thus, despite all his disqualifications, one will very soon become qualified to worship Radha Krishna Vigraha. So, then in here, as we see, is that without the mercy of Gaur Nitai, we're not going to be able to appreciate Radha Krishna. Right? That's the principles there. And that this worship of Radha Krishna then will mean this spontaneous platform. But we're worshiping the temple, we're practicing as we've been given, we're chanting, we're doing all the different processes. But we have to understand it's by the mercy of Guru Gauranga that this goes on. So by the mercy of Guru, then we've been given the worship of Lord Chaitanya and the chanting of Hare Krishna, the worship of the deities in the temple, and then like this we can move forward. So, sense. No. Yeah. It should be noted in this connection that the holy names of Lord Krishna and Gaurasundara are both identical with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should not consider one name to be more potent than the other. Considering the position of the people of this age, however, the chanting of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's name is more essential than the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most magnanimous incarnation, and his mercy is very easily achieved. Therefore, one must first take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Garadhar, Sri Vas Adi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. By serving Gaur Nitai, one is freed from the entanglements of material existence, and thus becomes qualified to worship the Radha Krishna deity. Right, so, first we're chanting the Panchatattva Mahamantra, then we're able to chant the Radha Krishna mantra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead, is greatly magnanimous. Unless one worships him, one can never be liberated. Right, so that's the principle. We're not going to actually understand or appreciate Radha and Krishna without worshipping Lord Chaitanya.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
For the other Sampadaya, we don't really worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
They don't, but they're not worshipping Radha and Krishna and Braj.
Yes.
Means none of them.
Yes.
like that. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Even Nimbarka, who is about Radha Krishna worship and about worship in Vrindavan and Raga Nuga Bhakti, it's still not Radha Krishna and Braj.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. There's still that aspect of because mm-hmm. there it may be as close as possible. It may be in the element area of sweetness, but the problem is there's no separation. So it's not Braj.
Yes.
Right? It'll be one of the lower aspects of it'll be in Goloka.
Mm-hmm.
They're not worshipping in Gokul. So it's only by Lord Chaitanya's grace that one can appreciate. But even by worshipping Lord Chaitanya, whatever position that they're striving for, it will come even more easily.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they want to go to Vaikuntha, it will still be easier for them.
Yes.
Because he's the avatar of the age, so he's mm-hmm. giving the process. Yes?
Nowadays it has become common practice, people worshipping Radha Gopal. So instead of Gaur Nithai, they have Radha Gopal, even though it is, you know, Sampradaya, in proper things.
The thing is they want to worship Radha Gopal. You can, but it's just a matter of where are you going to go? whose deity is Radha Gopal?
Huh?
Vallabha. It's for parental rasa. So then you can do if you like. I mean, he's cute. He's always looking good. Like that. You know what I'm saying? Means if in your family's been worshipping Radha Gopal, and then you come in contact with ISKCON, and then you take up the chanting, you know, process as given by Lord Chaitanya, then you continue because you've always been worshipping. But if you're not having any deities, you don't go out and get yourself a Radha Gopal deity. You know, it's just, no, it is. It's just, you know, you can if you want. But you always have to remember is as we are practicing, that's where we go. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Otherwise, So it means it's, hey, so you have free will, you can do whatever you like. But then, why not stick to what we've been given? You know, why add something more just because you can? I mean, because if that's the thing, we're doing something different. It's like, hello, it's 1.2 billion Indians, and that's all they do is add deities. You know, so, you know, wake up. It's not different. It's not unique. It's not special. Everybody does it. The rickshaw wala does it. They all do it. So you can. You know, you go to Vrindavan. Oh, so cute. Yeah, I mean, you can do it. Yeah, but why get involved? But as I said, if a family deity is there, he's always been worshipping, then don't worry about it. He's there also. Does that make sense? Yeah, because as Prabhupada mentioned before, you know, our disease is desire for that which is material. You know, even while advancing a spiritual life, we want material acclaim. So we always have to be careful that there's not something else going on. Does that make sense? Yes. You know, we just stick to what the acharyas give us. That's what we do. So,
when we say sometimes that main deity is Radha Krishna, sometimes also we say that main deity is Panchatattva of the yoga.
Panchatattva.
Okay. No?
Means?
Means the main the deity for Kali Yuga is Panchatattva, Radha Krishna.
Means is Lord Chaitanya, and then he has these five features, so then Panchatattva. It could also go any time. See, is that there's means here dealing on the Chaitanya Charitamrita level. Now, when they've talked about Radha Krishna workers, what have they been talking about? Right? It's the spontaneous devotional service.
Yes.
Therefore, one should not think that one can go to worship Radha Krishna and develop that spontaneous devotional service without worshipping Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Because the point is, the spontaneous means there's nothing from here that's distracting it. So therefore, by worshipping them, one gives up that material desire, and then one can move past that. Because spontaneity is a natural thing. It's not just something that you work at. Because if you're working at it, that's called vaidhi. That's practice, you know, in that way. So it's a natural thing. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, you have a particular preparation you like to eat. Do you have to practice that? No. So that's the point. Radha and Krishna worship, that's Radha Krishna worship. So therefore, we're worshipping Lord Chaitanya, and in this way then we're worshipping Radha Krishna, but we're doing so through our practice. Right? And then it will develop into that level. So it doesn't mean you can't worship at all or chant. But the point is that means that pure chanting, that pure worship of Radha and Krishna, that was not going to come without worship of Lord Chaitanya. Is that, you know, so it has to be clear. But yes.
So in the case of Madhav Indrapuri and his followers, did then his followers then just get to perfection once Lord Chaitanya came? It's because he preached Madhurya Ras. He was the first.
Yes, but the point is who is he? He's the opening of the 17th verse of the Mangalacharan. So, does that make sense? Because you're setting the scene. Because you have, first is the scene there, and then it expands out and all these things. So he's there, then it's situated, and then those associates, then Lord Chaitanya comes. Because there's always going to be the situation, there's always going to be seniors, and then there's going to be the pastime. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you have Vrindavan, but you also have all the elders and all that that makes it what it is. And then within that, then we have Krishna. So then it's not a problem for him. Because, you know, it's like this. If you're Madhavendra Puri, then, you know, then you can consider all these stuff. But since we're not, we don't have to get too worried about.
Sure.
He's doing fine, you know, like that. You know, So there's always these personalities that come along and they establish certain things. So how exactly, we don't have to get into the detail. You know, like Jayadev Goswami, you know, where he comes from, who is he, what's the sampradaya. We don't have to get into that. He comes, establishes things, is accepted by the acharyas, that's just good. Like Sridhar Swami, it's just accepted. Because the acharyas have all said this is how it is. Then we see there's others, then, you know, to get into detail, it'll show things, it'll show their progress, it'll show all these different things. So that we can take example from it. But there's certain personalities that we don't. But so those that are, then we see Madhavendra Puri's, his dedication to the deity, that service to the deity, you know, going to Malaysia to get, that means he's walking from Vrindavan to Malaysia.
Yeah.
To get sandalwood, right? And then, you know, he's bringing a bunch of sandalwood. Now you have to, you know, carry all that from there back. He's a sannyasi. It's not that he's the king, this whole entourage with guys there that are going to carry it for him. So then, because the time has come, and then the Lord tells him to offer it there, you know, and then the pastime, the Kirchar Gopinath. So we see is he's already there, so he's not getting there, but he's showing his devotion and all that. We're getting to experience that. But we see with the other acharyas, they show how they go through, what steps they went through to come to that perfectional stage.
Mm-hmm.
With someone like him, we enter, he's already at that stage, so we don't have to. Is that okay? Yeah. Verses 33 to 49, the glories of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. O fools, just read Sri Chaitanya Mangala, now called Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Oh, really? They're the same book.
It used to be called Chaitanya Mangala.
Lochan
Das Thakur then had the.
Then he wrote one Chaitanya Mangala.
Right.
So then he changed to Chaitanya Bhagavat. So it's still two books.
Yes, Marsh. But it used to be called Chaitanya. So
you have Chaitanya Mangala 1 and Chaitanya Mangala 2.
Kind of.
Okay.
So, Krishnadas Kaviraj will always refer to it as Chaitanya Mangala because that's what it was called then.
Oh, okay.
But since we know it is Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's...
Okay. Okay, so that's why it's in the brackets.
Right.
Okay, so when he's referring to Chaitanya Mangala, he's meaning Chaitanya Mangala,
right.
Bhagavat. By reading this book, you can understand all the glories of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, was originally titled Sri Chaitanya Mangala. But when Srila Lochan Das Thakur later wrote another book named Sri Chaitanya Mangala, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur changed the name of his own book, which is now therefore known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. The life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very elaborately described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has already informed us that in his Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he has described whatever Vrindavan Das Thakur has not mentioned. The acceptance of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami indicates his acceptance of the disciplic succession. A writer of transcendental literature never tries to surpass the previous acharyas, right? So that's always the thing. Is that you're adding something, you're bringing out something that when the commentaries are there, it's not a separate thing. It's that the acharya has written, commentary is there bringing out some other aspects, you know, just different angles of vision and all that. Not for the pointing out that it's better. It's just to give a broader understanding to us, right? Because by what the acharya said, we can understand. But if we're not, then this gives a wider understanding, right? Or it widens our understanding. As Vyasadeva has compiled all the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam, Thakur Vrindavandas has replicated the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Thakur Vrindavandas has composed Sri Chaitanya Mangala. Hearing this book annihilates all misfortune. By reading Sri Chaitanya Mangala, one can understand all the glories and truths of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and come to the ultimate conclusion of devotional service to Lord Krishna. Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam is the authoritative reference book from which to understand devotional service. But because it is very elaborate, few men can understand its purport. Srimad Bhagavatam is the original commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, which is called Nyaya Prashtan. It was written to enable one to understand the absolute truth through infallible logic and argument, and therefore its natural commentary, Srimad Bhagavatam, is extremely elaborate. Like we see is that in the Vedanta Sutra, they're discussing down to syllables, you know, to establish points and the varieties within that. So the Bhagavatam, being a natural commentary, will elaborate on all that. All that will be in the Bhagavatam. Just we may not always appreciate it, but the point is since it's about Krishna, then we can appreciate that. And the particular technical details, we catch those or not, as long as we catch the essence that it's about Krishna, then we'll always be good. Professional reciters have created the impression that Srimad Bhagavatam deals only with Krishna's Rasa Leela, although Krishna's Rasa Leela is described only in chapters 29 through 33 of the 10th canto. So that means there's that 29, so including that 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, so five chapters out of 300. Right, so that's the. They have in this way presented Krishna to the Western world as a great woman hunter. And therefore we sometimes have to deal with such misconceptions in preaching. Under these circumstances, it is a great aid for the common man to read Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's Chaitanya Bhagavat, for thus he can actually understand devotional service. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, and Nityananda. Srila Rupa Goswami has said, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.101. Devotional service to the Lord that ignores the authorized Vedic literatures, the Upanishads, Puranas, Narada Pancharatra, etc., is simply an unnecessary disturbance in society. End quote. Due to misunderstanding Srimad Bhagavatam, people are misled regarding the science of Krishna. However, by reading Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's book, one can very easily understand the science. So when it's giving this... Okay. Sri Chaitanya... text 37. In Sri Chaitanya Mangala, later known as Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is given the conclusion and essence of devotional service by quoting the authoritative statements of Srimad Bhagavatam. If even a great atheist hears Sri Chaitanya Mangala, he immediately becomes a great devotee. The subject matter of this book is so sublime that it appears that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally spoken through the writings of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur, Srila Prabhupada. Transcendental literature that strictly follows the Vedic principles and the conclusion of the Puranas and Pancharatrika Vidhi can be written only by a pure devotee. Right? So that's why we just study what they've given and write in ways with what they've defined. Because we're not trying to give the conclusions and all that. It is not possible for a common man to write books on bhakti, for his writings will not be effective. He may be very great scholar and may be expert in presenting literature in flowery language, but this is not at all helpful in understanding transcendental literature. Even if transcendental literature is written in faulty language, it is acceptable if it is written by a devotee. Whereas so-called transcendental literature written by a mundane scholar, even if it is very highly polished literary presentation, cannot be accepted. The secret in a devotee's writing is that when he writes about the pastimes of the Lord helps him. He does not write alone. As stated, in the Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Since a devotee writes in service to the Lord from within gives him so much intelligence that he sits down near the Lord and goes on writing books. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami confirms that what Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote was actually spoken by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he simply repeated it. The same holds true for Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in his old age, in an invalid condition. But it is such a sublime literature that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj used to say, quote, "The time will come when people of the world will learn Bengali to read Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita." We are trying to present Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita in English and do not know how successful it will be. But if one reads the original Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali, he will relish increasing ecstasy in devotional service. Because just because of the poetry and how nicely it's written. Yeah, because English doesn't lend itself as well. You know, it can be done really nicely done. It can do quite well. It's quite a good poetic language. But still, that simplicity that the Bengali has is very, very nice. Just wondering if I should start from here mentioning the verses. I'll just mention them. Okay. But I always forget the chapter because it only has the verse there.
Top of the page here.
Yes, so the other guy. So, 1:8, 40 through 41. I offer millions of obeisances under the lotus feet of Vrindavan Das Thakur. No one else could write such a wonderful book for the deliverance of all fallen souls. Narayani eternally eats the remnants of the food of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was born of her womb. Srila Prabhupada. In text 43 of the Gauranga Deepika, a book written by Kavi Karnapur that describes all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and who they previously were, there is the following statement regarding Narayani. When Lord Krishna was a child, he was nursed by a woman named Ambika, who had a younger sister named Kilimbika. During the time of Lord Chaitanya's incarnation, the same Kilimbika used to eat the remnants of food left by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That Kilimbika was Narayani, who was a niece of Srivas Thakur's. Later on, when she grew up and married, Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur was born from her womb. The devotee of Lord Sri Krishna is celebrated in terms of devotional service rendered to the Lord. Thus we know Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur as the son of Narayani. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur notes in this connection that there is no reference to his paternal ancestry because there is no need to understand it. Right, so you're just looking at the glory of the devotional service is there. So that's what's mentioned. So then where... That whole connection, because we know Srivas Thakur's niece, but we don't need to know who the father is and anything else like this. Because the main point is about the service that's rendered. So that's the glory. Okay, I have to look over here. Okay, text 1:8, 42-49. What a wonderful description he has given of the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Anyone in the three worlds who hears it is purified. I fervently appeal to everyone to adopt the method of devotional service given by Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, and thus be freed from the miseries of material existence and ultimately achieve the loving service of the Lord. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur has written Sri Chaitanya Mangala, and therefore described in all respects the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. He first summarized all the pastimes of the Lord and later described them vividly in detail. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are unlimited and unfathomable. Therefore, in describing all those pastimes, the book became voluminous. He saw them to be so extensive that he later felt that some had not been properly described. He ecstatically described the pastimes of Lord Nityananda, but the latter pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained untold. The devotees of Vrindavan were all very anxious to hear those pastimes. Right? So in other words, that's why he says, we see is in the Adi Lila, then there the pastimes that are given, those are the ones that are in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So much detail is given that they're only given, just some little points are made that he hasn't mentioned, or just to summarize it up. But then the Madhya Lila, the detail there in the preaching and the Antya Lila, that's what's not so much described. I think it's described a little bit, but not as much. Just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, then the Adi Lila is only given a little bit of the pastimes, and more in the Madhyam and Antya. The Chaitanya Mangala, or Chaitanya Bhagavat, is the opposite.
Yeah.
And so he was getting into that. He so ecstatically described them, he got into such detail that then, you know, there was... yeah. So then he always felt that it would be so nice to explain that. And the devotees were interested, so therefore...
Are we supposed to study Chaitanya
Charitamrita? It means having studied Chaitanya Charitamrita, then it will expand on that. But you have to approach... we're approaching all of Lord Chaitanya and his through Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that then is giving how we can approach. Because he's come as the Yuga Avatar to preach, to take care of all these things. He's tasting himself all these transcendental aspects, and that's explained. But the point is how we can take part and how we can please the Lord. Then that will be given very nicely here. His pastimes, what he does, those things that we're already... appreciate, then hearing those will be attracted to Lord Chaitanya. So it's always nice. But it's just like any of the Goswami literatures, you have to appreciate them through the teachings of Prabhupada. Or any of the books written by the Goswamis, you're appreciating it through what's given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. That's the angle that's there. It's not something different.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Does that make sense? There isn't contradiction. So if one can appreciate and deal in there, then it's nice. It's a nice thing. That. But one should always understand is if there's something presented that appears different, you have to view it from how Chaitanya Charitamrita explains it.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Then one will be fixed. One will be solid. Otherwise, if you trick here and there and all these different things and put things together yourself, where will you go in the spiritual world? Where is that place where you pick and choose as you like and put things together how you like?
Here.
Here. Okay? So that seems to be a very... how you say? Solid conclusion. In other words, you're not going to get there. Why? Because no one will accept you there. That's the whole point. Because you have to be able to follow in a particular line and follow. If we say we're following Rupa Goswami, it means that's how we're doing it. And so how do we follow Rupa? By following the previous acharyas. How do we follow that? By following what Srila Prabhupada's given us. Then you'll understand. But if we jump around and do things as we like, then what is it? Why would we do that? One is, of course, okay, we're finding some more nectar or something like that. And which is a good thing. The Lord, He is the reservoir of all nectar. But at the same time, it's about our experience of that nectar rather than how Krishna is pleased by our approaching Him through this nectar. So you can appreciate that. That's nice. It's always going to be beneficial. But it's, at some point, you have to then focus and follow the line nicely. Right? So someone may be doing that, but at some point it has to focus and align. Because if it doesn't, then it won't actually get to the place. You won't actually get to the position. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then how can you be trusted? You know, it's just like something needs to be done, that there's some nice thing going on. Just like, let's say, Radharani is sitting with her associates in the evening, right before she's going to go to bed. So, sitting there, then, you know, there's nice things, there's talking, there's, you know, playing, they're singing, they're doing all kinds. So it's a really nice thing. But the whole point is they're all talking about Krishna, but what's the main activity? Right? Means, what is the focus at this point? What needs to be accomplished for something more? What does Radharani want to do? She's sitting there remembering Krishna. They're singing about Krishna, talking about Krishna, hearing different news about things, about how they've gone to Nandagaon and they have, you know, the things that they cooked in the afternoon, they took, how Krishna ate, bringing remnants, all these different things. Okay? So now, but in Radharani's mind, is that just cool, sitting around and discussing like that? It's all about Krishna. So is that the focus? Is that what she's... So what does she want to do?
She wants to meet him.
She wants to meet him. So to meet him, what do you have to do? You have to go to bed. Right? Because unless you've gone to bed, how are you going to go meet him? Because only when you've gone to bed, everyone else goes away. Right? So therefore, then it's time to set up for the bed. Right? So then if you're following in the line, you're happy to go set up the bed, because that's actually the main thing, and that will be the most pleasing. And because this is going on and all these things are happening, then they're of course going to be discussing about Krishna and everything. Does that make sense? But if it's about, you know, going and getting the nectar Prabhu and all that kind of thing, which is a nice thing, but then you're supposed to go be doing these things, you'll be sitting out there listening to the stories. And then the bed doesn't get set up. And because it's all about nectars, oh yeah, now this time, now I'll set up the bed, you know, because now Radharani's gone in to go to bed, now I'll set it up, and she's just standing there, you know, tapping her foot. You understand? So that's the whole thing. That's why, literally, there is no place for such people. It doesn't exist. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes that statement in very clear terms. Unless you have that, that's why he makes that point, vyavasayatmika buddhi, that one-pointed intelligence. So you want to please Krishna. That means you have to please Radharani. That means you have to please her associates. That means you have to please those who are in the line of those associates. It means you have to please Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, we're approaching through this way. And if we do that, that's when you'll get there. And if you don't, then, hey, pot luck. You know? This whole idea is, no, but we'll all be in the same place. No. You stand behind Srila Prabhupada, you'll be standing there. You stand behind other people, hey, you can stand wherever you like. It's a free, you know, it's a free country, right? Like that. But where are you going to end up? You know, yeah, Maharas, everybody comes together. But in between, it's not, everybody's not together. So it has to be very, very clear. It's very specific. Right? Hence, we have our process. And then others have theirs. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions, they do, we don't criticize. They want to do, that's up to them. But we know what we're going to do. That's important. Does that make sense? Yes. Okay, verses 50 to 85, commentary on verses 15 and 16. For reference, verses 15 and 16 are as follows. Glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. Yeah, so Madhavendra Puri is doing fine. Okay, verse 1:8, 50-54. In Vrindavan, in a great place of pilgrimage, underneath the desire trees, is a golden throne bedecked with jewels. On that throne sits the son of Nanda Maharaj, Sri Govindadeva, the transcendental Cupid. Varieties of majestic service are rendered to Govinda there. His garments, ornaments, and paraphernalia are all transcendental. In that temple of Govindaji, thousands of servitors always render service to the Lord in devotion. Even with thousands of mouths, one could not describe this service. In that temple, the chief servitor was Sri Haridas Pandit. His qualities and fame are known all over the world. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Haridas Pandit was a disciple of Sri Ananta Acharya, who was a disciple of Gadadhar Pandit. Yeah. So it says majestic service just means it's very elaborate, very nicely done. It doesn't mean it's done with the mood of awe and reverence or majesty. It just means it's very, it's just like when we do things. Like the Shris are known for the big fancy worship, right? Because it's about majesty. Right? But when we did the Nisringa Abhishek, it wasn't this last year, I think it was the year before. I think maybe it was, unless it was 3 years ago. That's the problem. Time. Whatever it is. It's some time in time it happened. So you had the head pujari from Melkote. He came. So Melkote is the second main temple to Sri Rangam. Right? Because for some time, when I'm not sure who came, was it the Buddhists or somebody came and attacked the temple?
The James.
And so then Rangaji just had the river covered, because he's sitting on the island in the middle, just had it flood so that there is no temple. So they come and there's just water, so they just keep going. And so until they were like had moved on in that, which I think it was a long time. I'm not sure how long, but it was quite a long time. They had moved everything to Melkote. And there they were worshipping the deity and doing everything. So the big Rangaji stayed there, but I think small Rangaji, he went. So he was there. So, you know, they know the things. They're quite, you know, pukka, because it's the number two temple. So then you know, he sat through the Abhishek and everything, and afterwards then I think Vasu Ghosh Prabhu had brought him. He was like hosting him, taking him around, making sure everything was okay. And he asked, oh, how did you like the Abhishek and all that? And he so like that. You know, and he was kind of, because there's always this thing that we never do anything very well, you know, because, you know, what do we know? We're Gaudiyas. We only chant and stuff like this and that. And so then, you know, we did everything according to the Janma Titi Vidhi. It means how you do the Abhishek for Janmashtami. All the things that are there, all the rituals and everything, all the items offered and everything. So then they was asked, you know, what did you think? Because there's always that embarrassing, well, yeah, you know, it's nice and that, you know, but you could do this, you could do... No, he just said, he says, the Shris could never do this. He says, we're so fixed in our ritual, we couldn't do such a massive thing like that. You know, they'll come like that. You see, there's all the guys there, all the paraphernalia in this, and this mantra, this, that. They pick up the conch shell, they do this, they pour, and there's a whole thing like that going on, mantras and that. Then they take the next one. They can only do like that one at a time, and this is very formal. So for us, we have all those conches, we just pour, it's flowing down the steps in waterfalls. He's never seen that. He says, we could not do that. So that's the point. Worshipped in majesty, majestic worship, but not in the mood of majesty. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole point. In Braj, the worship is much greater, much more amazing than in Vaikuntha. And Vaikuntha is amazing. You know, it's just like amazing, more amazing, most amazing. But at the same time, it's not about that. For us, it's just it's a standard thing. It's just what you would do. You know, it's like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, it has to be appreciated that it's done. And that was done according to how the Acharya said to do it. Because our worship technically is more technical than anybody else's worship. It's just the way it is. It's not understood because we don't put any emphasis on it. You know, our emphasis is on chanting and the devotion and that. But it's not. But at the same time, as we go through all these things, because you want to please Krishna in all these fine details. So that's the thing, that the gopis are very expert. That we see Mother Jashoda after the Trinavarta demon. They get Krishna back, they put him down, they sprinkle him with the cowtails and dust from Vrindavan, and they're chanting all these kavachas and nyasas and all these technical stuff. Like that. And Prabhupada said previously this was just common knowledge. Right? And, you know, and then there's what the pandits do. You know, so that's the thing, is that we're saying it's not that big stuff, because we're just using the common knowledge. But that common knowledge of Braj is more elaborate than the Vaikuntha Wallas. Hence, stick to our line.
How do you go?
Also, we see the pastime where the devatas worship Lord Krishna, and after they leave and then put all the paraphernalia was there. But how the gopas worship with the same paraphernalia was way higher than all the devatas feel ashamed of.
Yes, because of that devotion, and that there's just another thing there. It doesn't have that formality. But it's not that we're not following properly things, because the point is you want to do something. You don't have to be stiff to do it. You can be very natural in doing it. So that naturalness comes because of the devotion.
Yes.
So that flavor is there. It has the uniqueness.
Yes.
Yeah. And also, yeah, that's another thing. Okay. So 1:8:55-57. He was gentle, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, grave, sweet in his words, and very sober in his endeavors. He was respectful to everyone and worked for the benefit of all. Diplomacy, envy, and jealousy were unknown to his heart. The 50 qualities of Lord Krishna were all present in his body. Because the jiva, when by worship, all these 50 qualities could be there. Right? And so, and these things here. Very sober in his endeavors. So generally we wouldn't see gentle, tolerant, peaceful, magnanimous, grave, sweet. Because generally we think of somebody who's sober, then it's all very dry and rigid and everything like that. So that's the point, is sober means it's just all about Krishna. There is no maya. Srila Prabhupada. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna are mentioned. Among these, 50 are primary. Ayam, Neta, Su, Ram Yangaha, etc. And in minute quantity, they were all present in the body of Sri Haridas Pandit. Since every living entity is part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all 50 of these good qualities of Sri Krishna are originally minutely present in every living being. Due to his contact with material nature, these qualities are not visible in the conditioned soul. But when one becomes a purified devotee, they all automatically manifest themselves. This is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5:18-12, as mentioned in the text below. So all those are there, but that's the whole point. Qualities aren't good enough. It means the devotee has bhakti, therefore then these qualities shine. Right? But the qualities without bhakti, then they take on the mundane care, and then they become covered. Does that make sense? So that's why this idea is that no, we have to cultivate good qualities and be nice people, and so people will see, oh, Hare Krishnas are so nice, I want to join whatever they're doing. Right? But then the difficulty comes up is that, one, it won't work, and two, that's not what produces bhakti. Bhakti is produced from bhakti. Bhakti uncovers these good qualities. Does that make sense? It's not that we're not aware of them, so when we have an opportunity to try to apply that quality in our service, naturally we would do that as a practice. So it's not that we ignore, but it's not that we separately, other than where it comes up naturally in the practice, we try to develop it.
Yes.
So?
It's not practicing bhaktis. It's only a natural thing.
Yes, yes. It's just like, let's say you have a gold ring and it's covered with mud. Now the gold ring has the qualities of gold. But with the mud you can't see it. So now if I try to take that ring with the mud on it and try to, you know, how do I bring out the shininess or the this or that? All they have to do is wash it. And by washing, the natural qualities come out. Because otherwise, it's very hard to get mud to be shiny. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that we're aware of the qualities, so therefore we're always trying to apply them where it comes up in our service. Because at any point in service, different qualities will be used. You can't say that the same our quality will be used all the time. Okay, text 1858. In one who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifested. So consistently. Otherwise, they may come up at a moment and then go away. But unflinching devotional faith, then it'll be constant. However, one who has no devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no good qualification, because he engaged by mental concoction in material existence, which is the external feature of the Lord. So even if we do see some good qualities, let's say in the materialist, they're only there by karma. It's only he's done something in the past that he would have the karma to behave in that way. And so you'll see it. And it is a quality. Yes, it's a good quality. But it's not real. It's not that the soul is manifesting that. Like that. It's just by karma. So if the karma changes, that quality may also change. That's the. So text 1859-60. Anantacharya was a disciple of Garadhar Pandit. His body was always absorbed in love of Godhead. He was magnanimous and advanced in all respects. Anantacharya was a reservoir of all good qualities. No one can estimate how great he was. Pandit Haridas was his beloved disciple. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, Sri Ananta Acharya is one of the eternal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Previously, during the event of Lord Sri Krishna, Ananta Acharya was Sudevi, one of the eight gopis. It is stated in the Gorgano Dashtipika 1.6.5 as follows. Ananta Acharya Goswami Yasudevi Pura Vraje. Anantacharya Goswami was formerly Sudevi Gopi in Braja, Vrindavan. In Jagannath Puri, or Purushottam Kshetra, there is a monastery known as Gangamata Mutt that was established by Anantacharya. In this succession of the Gangamata Mutt, he is known as Vinoda Manjari. One of his disciples was Haridas Pandit Goswami, was also known as Sri Raghu Gopal and as Sri Rasa Manjari. His disciple Lakshmi Priya was the maternal aunt of Gangamata, a princess who was the daughter of the king of Putia. Gangamata brought a deity of the name Sri Rasika Rai from Krishna Mishra of Jaipur and installed him in the house of Sarvabhauma in Jagannath Puri. The disciple in the fifth generation after Sri Ananta Acharya was Sri Vanamali. In the sixth generation, Sri Bhagavan Das, who was a Bengali. In the seventh generation, Madhusudana Das, who was an Uriya. In the eighth generation, Nilambar Das. In the ninth generation, Sri Narottam Das. In the tenth generation, Pitambar Das. And the 11th generation, Sri Madhava Das. The disciple in the 12th generation is presently in charge of the Gangamata Monastery. So the eternal associate, and so we see is according to the devotion, that's how you give the line. Right? So it's not mentioning, because this one was the Bengali, that one was the Uriya, this was that. It's not mentioning where they're from. It's just that the one who's doing service, that's the one that's mentioned. Does that make sense? So that's why the important thing we see in our line, even in our Sampradaya, is the Siksha Sampradaya is what's given. Right? Here they're showing who's doing the service, the line of Seva. But it's the siksha, that's what's the important, so that's the line that we see. Does that make sense? We're not discussing about the diksha line in that case. Right? Pandit Haridas, okay, this is 1861-62. Pandit Haridas had great faith in Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda. Therefore, he took great satisfaction in knowing about their pastimes and qualities. He always accepted the good qualities of Vaishnavas and never found fault in them. He engaged his heart and soul only to satisfy the Vaishnavas. Srila Prabhupada. It is a qualification of a Vaishnava that he is adosha darshi. He never sees others' faults. Of course, every human being has both good qualities and faults. Therefore, it is said, sajjana gunam ichanti dosham ichanti pamaraha. Everyone has a combination of faults and glories. But a Vaishnava, a sober man, accepts only a man's glories and not his faults. For flies seek sores, whereas honeybees seek honey. Haridas Pandit never found fault with the Vaishnava, but considered only his good qualities. You know, so you see the qualities and see how it works in that way. And according to those good qualities, that's the strength, that's how you engage somebody. Right? You don't engage somebody according to their faults, right? You engage somebody according to the good qualities. So it's not a problem. You can be engaged, you can direct, you can do so many things, and everything works nice. Because whatever someone's strengths are, then that's what you're playing to. 1:8:63-66. He always heard the reading of Sri Chaitanya Mangala, and all the other Vaishnavas used to hear it by his grace. So he would hear that, and then because he's hearing the reading, then others would come and hear the reading. Or because he's always hearing that reading, then when he would discuss it, that way others would always hear it. Like the full moon, he illuminated the entire assembly of Vaishnavas by speaking Sri Chaitanya Mangala. By the nectar of his qualities, he increased their transcendental bliss. By his causeless mercy, he ordered me to write about the last pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in Chaitanya Mangala, it only gives the beginning ones. Mm-hmm. Right? Govinda Gosai, the priest engaged in the service of Lord Govinda in Vrindavan, was a disciple of Kashishwar Gosai. There was no servant more dear to the deity, Govinda. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhashya, Kashiraj Gosai was one of the contemporaries of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was with the Lord in Jagannath Puri. Also known as Kashishwar Pandit, he was a disciple of Ishwara Puri and son of Vasudev Bhattacharya, who belonged to the dynasty of Kanjilala Kanu. His surname was Chaudhary. His nephew, his sister's son, who was named Rudra Pandit, was the original priest of Vallabhapura, which is situated about 1 mile from the Sri Ramapura railway station in the village of Chatara. Installed there are the deities of Radha Govinda and Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kashishwara Gosai was a very strong man, and therefore when Lord Chaitanya visited the temple of Jagannath, he used to protect the Lord from the crowds. Another of his duties was to distribute prasadam to the devotees after kirtan. Right, so someone who's, you know, strong, then they would take care. Just like when Prabhupada would move through the crowds coming for programs, then Brahmananda Maharaj, he would be there. Because, you know, no one's going to mess with Brahmananda. So he moves there. If somebody comes and gets in the way, he'll just pick him up and move him. He can just actually just with one hand pick him up and then, you know, bring Prabhupada through and things like that. So that's it. Yeah. And another would distribute prasad. So then when you distribute prasad, you can have riots. You don't mess with the big guy. So everyone nicely comes, takes prasad, everything. So
he can carry a lot.
Yeah, he can carry a lot. And also he values prasad because he's big. So he knows how to eat. It works out. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur visited this temple at Vallabhapura. At that time, the person in charge was a Shaivite, Sri Shiva Chandra Chaudhary, who was a descendant of Kashishwara Gosai's brother. In Vallabhapura, there was a permanent arrangement to cook 9 kilos of rice, vegetables, and other foodstuffs daily. And near the village, there is sufficient land, which belonged to the deity, on which this rice was grown. Unfortunately, the descendants of Kashiraj Goswami's brother have sold a major portion of this land, and therefore the deity worship has now been hampered. Because the deities have this, but they're looking at, oh, you can get so much for it, or this. So they don't take care, so no one's giving, and so then they do all this. So all, just like here, the land that we're sitting on now means you have, where's the fork in the road? You know, there's the front road and the back road. You know, so where they come together. So all the land in between that, all the way to the Jalangi, used to belong to the Mutt.
Yes.
So like that, it happens.
Mahito, the custom for the deity to own land.
Yes, that would be the natural. That's how they maintain their worship. They would own land. And then, or sometimes even villages,
yes,
depending upon how it was the arrangement. So, then in that, then all these things would be grown in that, and the deity would get. So if he owned the village, then they would pay their tax.
Yes.
So the tax, instead of going to the tax collector, you know, and going to the king, then the tax went to the deities.
Yes.
And so then whatever was that tax, you know, whether it was in coinage or whether it was in grains or whatever it was that, you know, for that particular village or locale, that went to the deity and that maintained. So this way all the temples, they generally always had these endowments like this. Mm-hmm. That was the standard thing, is that everybody, they, all the temples had land and everything like that. So it's always important, that aspect.
But nowadays?
It's not so much.
Is it still that way in Puri or not?
I don't know. I can't say. Just this common thing that all these lands disappear and all that. Because then somebody wants to make money. So instead of, you know, working to raise the money, then they just use it as an occupation rather than as a service. Yes?
Also, I heard one of the devotees went to Kashi, Varanasi. Every home there is actually a temple.
Okay.
They just occupied it and then built. There's a temple on the top of it only, they build their home.
Okay, and so then downstairs is the...
Yeah, there may be some small place.
Okay.
Actually, that whole place belongs to the temple itself, but the castle.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So these things are. It's just, that's the way the age goes. It is said in the Gauranga Deepika 137 that the servant of Krishna in Vrindavan named Bringara descended as Kashishwara Gosai during the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In our household life, we also sometimes visited this temple of Vallabhapura and took prasadam there at noon. The deities of this temple, Shishurada Govinda and the Gauranga Vigraha, are extremely beautiful. Near Vallabhapuri is the beautiful temple of Jagannath. We sometimes used to take prasadam in this Jagannath temple also. These two temples are situated within a 1 mile radius of the Sri Ramapura railway station near Calcutta. Oh, Sri Ramapura. Okay. Because they're saying it in the full thing, Sri Ramapura, and I say, where's that? And they go, Sri Ramapura. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, text 1867 through 72. Sri Yadavacharya Gosai, a constant associate of Srila Rupa Goswami, was also very enthusiastic in hearing and chanting about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. Bhugarbha Gosai, a disciple of Pandit Gosai, was always engaged in topics regarding Lord Chaitanya, knowing nothing else. Among his disciples were Chaitanya Das, who was a priest at the Govinda deity, priest of the Govinda deity, as well as Mukundananda Chakrabarti and the great devotee Krishna Das. Among the disciples of Ananta Acharya was Shivananda Chakrabarti, in whose heart Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda constantly dwelled. In Vrindavan there were also many other great devotees, all of whom desired to hear the last pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. By their mercy, all these devotees ordered me to write of the last pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because of their order only, although I am shameless, I have attempted to write this Chaitanya Charitamrita. Okay, so that's how it was, because the Chaitanya Mangala is so important. It's describing the first part of the pastimes. So now the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains the last part. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada, to write about the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not an ordinary endeavor. Unless one is empowered by the higher authorities or advanced devotees, one cannot write transcendental literature, for all such literature must be above suspicion, or, in other words, it must have none of the defects of conditioned souls, namely mistakes, illusions, cheating, and imperfect sense perceptions. That means on the of the transcendental platform. The words of Krishna and the disciplic succession that carries the orders of Krishna are actually authoritative. To be empowered to write transcendental literature is a privilege in which a writer can take great pride. As a humble Vaishnava, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, being thus empowered, felt very much ashamed that it was he who was to narrate the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so even though he's there, they're all asking him to write, but he's feeling unqualified. But because he's given the order, and with the order comes the ability, therefore he's taking it up. So verse 1873. Having received the order of the Vaishnavas, but being anxious within my heart, I went to the temple of Madan Mohan in Vrindavan to ask his permission also. Mm-hmm. So all this is connected with the Govindaji temple.
Yes.
Like that. But he also went to Madan Mohan to ask. Right? Because he's the one that establishes the connection. Srila Prabhupada. The Vaishnava always follows the order of Guru and Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita was written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami by their mercy. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami considered all the devotees that have been mentioned to be his preceptor gurus, or spiritual masters, and Madan Gopal, Sri Madan Mohan Vigraha, is Krishna himself. Thus he took permission from both of them. And when he received the mercy of both Guru and Krishna, he was able to write this great literature, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. This example should be followed. Anyone who attempts to write about Krishna must first take permission from the spiritual master and Krishna. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and the spiritual master is his direct external representative. Thus, Krishna is situated antarbahi, within and without. One must first become a pure devotee by following the strict regulative principles and chanting 16 rounds daily. And when one thinks that he is actually on the Vaishnava platform, he must then take permission from the spiritual master. And that permission must also be confirmed by Krishna from within his heart. Then if one is very sincere and pure, he can write transcendental literature, either prose or poetry. 1874-78. When I visited the temple of Madan Mohan, the priest Gosai Das was serving the feet of the Lord, and I also prayed at the Lord's lotus feet. When I prayed to the Lord for permission, a garland from his neck immediately slipped down. As soon as this happened, the Vaishnavas standing there all loudly chanted, Hari Bol. And the priest, Gosai Das, brought me the garland and put it around my neck. I was greatly pleased to have the garland signifying the order of the Lord, and then and there I commenced to write this book. Actually, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita is not my writing, but the dictation of Sri Madan Mohan. My writing is like the repetition of a parrot. Srila Prabhupada, this should be the attitude of all devotees. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead recognizes the devotee, he gives him intelligence and dictates how he may go back home, back to Godhead. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. Didami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. End quote. The opportunity to engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord is open to everyone because every living entity is constitutionally a servant of the Lord. To engage in the service of the Lord is the natural function of the living entity. But because he is covered by the influence of Maya, material energy, he thinks it to be a very difficult task. But if he places himself under the guidance of a spiritual master and does everything sincerely, immediately the Lord, who is situated within everyone's heart, dictates how to serve him. Didami buddhi yogam tam. The Lord gives this direction, and thus the devotee's life becomes perfect. Whatever a pure devotee does is done by the dictation of the Supreme Lord. Thus, it is confirmed by the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that whatever he wrote was written under the direction of the Sri Madan Mohan deity. Text 1879. As a wooden doll is made to dance by a magician, I write as Madan Gopal orders me to do so. Srila Prabhupada, this is the position of a pure devotee. One should not take any responsibility on his own, but should be a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Will then give him dictation as Chaita Guru, or the spiritual master within. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased to guide a devotee from within and without. From within he guides him as the super soul, and from without he guides him as the spiritual master. 1880-81. I accept as my family deity Madan Mohan, whose worshippers are Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami. I took permission from Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur by praying at his lotus feet, and upon receiving his order, I have attempted to write this auspicious literature. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami took permission not only from the Vaishnavas and Madan Mohan, but also from Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is understood to be the Vyas of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he's the Vyasa of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Is he the Vyasadeva that's come back? Means in Krishna Lila he's Vyasadeva, and in Gaura Lila he's Vrindavan Das Thakur?
Yes. Yeah.
That's from yeah.
Okay.
Ooh. Sorry about that.
Did you get one?
Yeah, it happened to be sitting on my hand. Put my hand there. Hare Krishna. Okay, 1, 8, 82 to 85. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur is the authorized writer on the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Without his mercy, therefore, one cannot describe these pastimes. I am foolish, low-born, and insignificant, and I always desire material enjoyment. Yet, by the order of the Vaishnavas, I am greatly enthusiastic to write this transcendental literature. The lotus feet of Sri Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Goswami are my source of strength. Remembering their lotus feet can fulfill all one's desires. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Conclusion. One should not take any responsibility on his own, but should be a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who will then give him dictation as the Chaita Guru, or the spiritual master within. Okay. This is that. So Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Study Guide Part 3, the Sri Chaitanya Tree, Chapters 9 to 12. So 9 is the Tree of Devotional Service. Chapter 10, the Trunk, Branches, and Sub-Branches of the Chaitanya Tree. Chapter 11, the Expansions of Lord Nityananda. Chapter 12, the Expansions of Advaitacharya and Gadadhar Pandit. That's 12. And then from 15?
So 13 through 17 are Advent, Balya, Kumara,
Kaganda? I mean,
Kaganda,
no.
Kishore. And Yoga.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Chapter 9, the Tree of Devotional Service, Pratigya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most benevolent personality in human society because his only desire is to make people happy. Right? And how do you become happy? By becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. Because that's the only way the living entity become happy. So that's what he's... Adhyaya Prakashika. The 9th chapter describes the desire tree of devotional service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the gardener who planted it. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 17.3.22. A summary of Chapter 9 has been given as follows by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Pravaha Pasya. In this chapter, the author of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita has devised a figurative example by describing, quote, the desire tree of bhakti, end quote. He considers Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is known as Vishwampara, to be the gardener of this tree because he is the main personality who's taken charge of it, right? So that means that's another feature of Lord Chaitanya is this as the gardener, where he's nourishing the tree of devotion, like that. So you have the Samkirtan mission, you have where he's cultivating this tree, and then where he himself is tasting the service to Krishna, right? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So yeah. As the supreme enjoyer, he enjoyed the fruits himself and distributed them as well. So he's enjoying them, he's distributing them, he's cultivating those who are, you know, in the practice of enjoying them and giving to others. The seed of the tree was first sown in Navadvipa, the birth site of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then the tree was brought to Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, and then to Vrindavan. The seed fructified first in Srila Madhavendra Puri, and then in his disciple Sri Ishwara Puri. It is figuratively described that both the tree itself and the trunk of the tree are Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Paramananda Puri and 8 other great sannyasis are like the spreading roots of the tree. From the main trunk, there extend 2 special branches, Advaita Prabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. And from those branches grow other branches and twigs. The tree surrounds the entire world, and the fruits of the tree are to be distributed to everyone. In this way, the tree of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu intoxicates the entire world. It should be noted that this is a figurative example meant to explain the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shloka Anusharana, verses 1 to 55, the Chaitanya tree. Okay, so there's only just this one section.
Yes.
Okay, 1-9, 1-5. Let me offer my respectful obeisances under the spiritual master of the entire world, Lord Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by whose mercy even a dog can swim across a great ocean. All glories to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, who is known as Gaurahari. All glories to Advaita Charya and Nityananda Prabhu. All glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas Thakur. In order to fulfill all my desires, I remember the lotus feet. I also remember the six Goswamis, Rupa, Sanatana, Bhatta Raghunath, Sri Jiva, Gopal Bhatta, and Dasa Raghunath. It is by the mercy of all these Vaishnavas and Gurus that I attempt to write about the pastimes and qualities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whether I know it or not, it is for it is for self-purification that I write this book. Yeah. You say, whether I know it or not, I may be doing out of so many other things, but I'm purified by this process. Srila Prabhupada. This is the process for writing transcendental literature. A sentimentalist who has no Vaishnava qualifications cannot produce transcendental writings. There are many fools who consider Krishna Lila to be a subject of art and who write or paint pictures about the pastimes of Lord Krishna with the gopis, sometimes depicting them in a manner practically obscene. These fools take pleasure in material sense gratification. But one who wants to make advancement in spiritual life must scrupulously avoid their literature. Unless one is a servant of Krishna and the Vaishnavas, as Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami presents himself to be in offering respect to Lord Chaitanya, his associates and disciples, one should not attempt to write transcendental literature. So again, it's because of the devotion, because of the mercy of the Parampara and the higher authorities that one can do this. Otherwise, one can't. So it's not that just one's good at literature, one's good at art, one's good at oration, and because of that, then you feel, yes, now I can do all these different things. So it's about devotion and getting the authority from the acharyas. Then it works very nicely. Yes?
It's an interesting fact that it took Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami nearly 5.5 years to complete Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Govinda Lilamrita he wrote a long time before that.
Okay.
So that was his last work.
Oh, wow.
Maharaj, when we are writing essays, we need to follow this.
Yes. Yes. So, yes. So that's why then you're praying to Guru and Gauranga, taking their blessings, then you write your essay.
Whether we know it or don't know it, it's throughout purification.
Yeah, yes, whether we know it or don't know it, throughout
purification. That gives another meaning to the know it or don't know it.
Yes, so then. Yes. Whether we know it or don't know it, it's for our purification. That's a good one. This is the sum and substance of transcendental writing. One must be an authorized Vaishnava, humble and pure. One should write transcendental literature to purify oneself, not for credit.
Of course, credit.
Yes, so you're writing to purify oneself.
It means to come to the Uttama platform.
Yes, yes. By writing... By writing about the pastimes of the Lord, one associates with the Lord directly. That's why this consideration is there, because the Lord is non-different from his name, form, qualities, and pastimes. So any of these things done, the written word, the art, the drama, the narration, any of these things are Krishna. So that's why, unless one is authorized Vaishnava, means one's coming in the Parampara, and then with the mercy of Guru and Krishna, then these things work very nicely. Others, they come along and it's not very good. Some places probably call them upstarts. You know, so that's quite a common one. Not yet. Okay. One should not ambitiously think, I shall become a great author. I shall be celebrated as a writer. These are material, end quote. These are material desires. One should attempt to write for self-purification. It may be published or it may not be published, but that does not matter. If one is actually sincere in writing, all his ambitions will be fulfilled. Whether one is known as a great author is incidental. One should not attempt to write transcendental literature for material name and fame. That's it. My essays will be renowned all over the world. So we don't write.
Make a book.
No. Yeah, yeah. So.
We're going to publish the
essays. Yeah, yeah.
And you get the certificate or not is incidental.
Yeah, yeah. But you get or not, it's incidental. But it says if one is actually sincere in writing, all his ambitions will be fulfilled. So did he get or not? So that's it. Was he sincere or not?
The names, Shastra Chakshus up to Prem Chakshus, they're not material names, so it's not looking for material names.
Ah, okay, so now he's giving. Yes. Okay, how are we doing? Okay. 1969. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who himself is the tree of transcendental love of Krishna. Its gardener, and also the bestower and enjoyer of its fruits. Right, so he's the tree, he's the gardener, he's the one who tastes these fruits and distributes these fruits. Lord Chaitanya thought, my name is Vishwambhara, one who maintains the entire universe. End quote. Its meaning will be actualized if I can fulfill the whole universe with love of Godhead. How do you make the difference between a quote within a
that
quote?
Other end quote.
Huh?
Yeah, that was just saying what Vishwambhar meant.
Yes, yes, but when you
vocally, I don't know. How do you do that?
On the written page with a different type
of... Yeah, yeah, but I'm saying if you're speaking it, then... Because there's the double quotation marks, and then there's the single.
Quote.
Next quote.
Inner quote.
Inner quote.
Inner quote. End inner quote.
And then end quote.
End quote.
It'll get tricky because sometimes there's three sets.
Okay. Of inner,
so inner, middle, like quote, middle, inner.
Okay. So
inner, middle.
Yes. Okay. Thinking in this way, he accepted the duty of a planter and began to grow a garden in Navadvip. Thus the Lord brought the desire tree of devotional service to this earth and became its gardener. Right? Because in the spiritual world, then it's all devotional service there. So he brought from the spiritual world. That's the Golok era, Premadan, Harinam, and Sampratan. And see, it's coming down from Goloka. He sowed the seed. He sprinkled upon it the water of his will. Srila Prabhupada. In many places, devotional service has been compared to a creeper. One has to sow the seed of the devotional creeper, Bhakti Lata, within the heart. As he regularly hears and chants, the seed will fructify and gradually grow into a mature plant and then produce the fruit of devotional service, namely love of Godhead, which the gardener, Malakara, can then enjoy without impediments. 1910. All glories to Sri Madhavendra Puri, the storehouse of all devotional service unto Krishna. He is the desire tree of devotional service, and it is in him that the seed of devotional service first fructified. Srila Prabhupada. Sri Madhavendra Puri, also known as Sri Madhava Puri, belonged to the disciplic succession from Madhvacharya and was a greatly celebrated sannyasi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the third disciplic descendant from Sri Madhavendra Puri. The process of worship in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya was full of ritualistic ceremonies, with hardly a sign of love of Godhead. Sri Madhavendra Puri was the first person in that disciplic succession to exhibit the symptoms of love of Godhead, and the first to write a poem beginning with the words, Ayi Dina Dayardra Nath, O Supremely Merciful Personality of Godhead. In that poem is the seed of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's cultivation of love of Godhead. 1911. The seed of devotional service next fructified in the form of Sri Ishwara Puri, and then the gardener himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, became the main trunk of the tree of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhashya, Sri Ishwara Puri was a resident of Kumarahatta, where there is now a railroad station known as Kumarahatta. Kumarahatta, okay.
Kamarahatta.
Oh, I see. It changed. Okay, Kamarahatta. Nearby, there is another station named Halisahara, which belongs to the Eastern Railway. This railway runs from the eastern section of Calcutta. So if you're up on the railways, you know which is the north, south, central, and all this, because they have all these different... Then you know which lines it's on.
Near Naihati.
Near Naihati. Okay, so between going to Calcutta. Oh, okay. Ishwara Puri appeared in a Brahmana family and was the most beloved disciple of Srila Madhavendra Puri. In the last portion of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 8, 28-31, it is stated, at the last stage of his life, Sri Madhavendra Puri became an invalid and was completely unable to move. And Ishwara Puri so completely engaged himself in the service, his service, that he personally cleaned up his stool and urine. Always chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and reminding Sri Madhavendra Puri about the pastimes of Lord Krishna in the last stage of his life, Ishwara Puri gave the best service among his disciples. Thus, Madhavendra Puri, being very pleased with him, blessed him, saying, quote, my dear boy, I can only pray to Krishna that he will be pleased with you, end quote. Thus, Ishwara Puri, or end inner quote. Thus, Ishwara Puri, by the grace of his spiritual master, Sri Madhavendra Puri, became a great devotee in the ocean of love of Godhead, end outer quote. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti states in his Guru Vastaka prayer, Yasya Prashadad Bhagavat Prashado, Yasya Prashadana Kati Kutopi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one is blessed by the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Right? So hearing is the one thing, and then getting the blessings to be able to apply it. So one wants both of those. To be able to always hear and chant, but also be able to apply these aspects. It is by the mercy of the spiritual master that one becomes perfect, as vividly exemplified here. A Vaishnava is always protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but if he appears to be an invalid, this gives a chance to his disciples to serve him. Ishwara Puri pleased the spiritual master by service. And by the blessings of his spiritual master, he became such a great personality that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as his spiritual master. So we'll stop here.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinda ki, Jayanitai Gaur Premanakri.